This is Radio Superior 1939, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1939. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time and hear radio as it may have sounded in 1939. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
Yes, you are listening to the voice from the head of the lakes, station KUWS in Superior, Wisconsin. It's Friday, December 15th, 1939. This is Jack McKenna speaking to you from a winter wonderland. The 6 o'clock news with Lou Martin is next. We're going to decorate the station Christmas tree tonight. Harriet Farrig will be here with some favorite holiday recipes from 1939. All that and the best music from the 1930s. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Millard Berg Photography. With Brownie cameras, just $2.25, an ideal way to picture Christmas. Millard Berg, photographs of distinction. Hey, Lou, they let me use one of their flash cameras. As soon as I can figure out how it works, we can take a group picture.
For some reason, I already feel leery about that. Good evening, Jack and listeners. The League of Nations is organizing military aid for Finland against Soviet invaders. A burst of oratory at its meeting in Geneva, Switzerland, resulted in Russia's expulsion from the League. In reality, this only leaves the Finns with many promises, but alone in their fight against the Red Army. Warring allied nations France and Britain have granted Finland credit to buy arms, but only the Polish government, in exile, is trying to round up troops and pilots for Finland. We begin our shortwave radio roundup reports with United Press correspondent Webb Miller, who is with the Finnish troops at the Karelian Isthmus.
White roar is being raised across the Arctic snow as white camouflaged Finnish soldiers, known as the Ghost Army, become virtually invisible against the snow. To that, the dark-clad Soviet soldiers make a good target. The Finnish army in the Karelian Isthmus has smashed a Soviet steamroller in 8 days of this savage fighting without losing ground to the Red Army. This Arctic tundra does not allow for tanks and vehicles. Soviets are on foot, harassed by Finnish soldiers on skis. The Finns have broken the Russian attempt to flank the Mannerheim defense line on the eastern side of the peninsula. Now calm and confident, the mood here is for a fight to the death for their freedom. I've been watching the Soviet troops on the other side of a 200-yard-wide river attempt and fail to cross it. Losses on both sides have been heavy, with more than 2,000 Russians dead. The Finns have suffered fewer killed, but their small army feels the losses more keenly than the massive Soviet forces. Some of the shells fired by the Red Army explode in the air, raining leaflets on the Finns. The pamphlets read, "Finland started this war." The Finns say the Russians are wasting their ammunition. What they really want to know is, what is the Soviets' next offensive? My visit to the Karelian front has left no doubt. This first offensive has failed. The Red Army has tried to send men across in boats. The Finns blew the boats to bits. Thousands of Russians have been put into battle, and everyone has been thrown back. This battle opened on Finnish Independence Day, December 6th, and collapsed on this, the 8th day of fighting. This is a strange, grim fight fought in a part of the world where dawn flickers at 9 a.m. and a gray dusk fades at 3:30. This is a land of lakes and forests, of bitter cold, glaring ice, and snow. It's the Finnish army on the Karelian Isthmus. This is Webb Miller calling Norway. Come in, Max Jordan.
This is Phonic Norway, Max Jordan reporting. Soviet mechanized troops, which smashed across northern Finland into the Salamajärvi area yesterday, are massing for a new offensive today, less than a mile from the Norwegian border. Finns are adopting a scorched earth policy, destroying a square mile area south of Salamajärvi in an effort to hinder the Soviet advance. Norwegian sentinels stand along the frontier as the Russians consolidated their positions in Salamajärvi. That city is now charred ruins, with ghostly, towering chimneys which mark the remains of Finland's nickel works factory. The Finns left the northern tip of their country to the invader, rallying their troops south of Salamanjärvi. Both sides are now braced for an offensive that could determine the outcome of this war. Sonic Norway, this is Max Jordan reporting. Calling Helsinki. Come in, Virgil Pinkley in Helsinki.
This is the free Finnish capital of Helsinki. Your correspondent, Virgil Pinkley, here. Finnish Foreign Minister V.A. Tanner has taken to the radio to plea for a parley with Russian Foreign Minister Molotov. Speaking in the Russian language and asking for a radio reply from Molotov, Minister Tanner says he has new proposals to avoid further bloodshed. Quoting Minister Tanner, if your answer is no, then the whole world, which already watches the severity of the Soviet Union's measures, will know what value to set on the Soviet Union's principles. Minister Tanner says the Soviets chose to break off talks and start this war on November 30th, refusing the United States' offer to negotiate a settlement. Before Mr. Tanner's broadcast, Finland called more men to colors, completing what amounts to a total mobilization here. Finland's civilians have been bombed and many women and children killed in Red Army air attacks. Mr. Tanner promises the Finns will fight on. This is Helsinki. Calling South America, come in, Wes Gallagher in Uruguay.
This is South America, Montevideo, Uruguay calling. Wes Gallagher reporting. The German pocket battleship Admiral Graf Spee is in this harbor city today, licking its wounds. It fled this neutral nation after a 10-hour sea battle with British cruisers Ajax and Achilles off the Uruguayan coast. Foreign Minister Alberto Guani says as a neutral nation, they can only guarantee safe harbor until the Graf Spee is seaworthy once again. Awaiting the Nazi fighting ship are several Allied warships, the Ajax, the Achilles, and Cumberland of the British fleet, and the French battleship Dunkirk. Admiral Graf Spee's commander, Captain Hans Langsdorff, ordered the ship's band to play a dirge as 36 pine coffins were unloaded from the battleship. They'll be buried at the Montevideo North Cemetery. Several other sailors were taken to the hospital there, some with serious injuries. Reporting from Montevideo, Uruguay, this is Wes Gallagher, United Press.
This just in from Berlin. The German-Russian boundary treaty, which was drawn up when Poland surrendered on September the 28th, has been ratified by both countries. Nazi Foreign Minister von Ribbentrop and Soviet Ambassador to Berlin, Alexander Shcherbakov, rejected the offers of the Third Nation settlement in signing the agreement. The treaty wipes Poland off the European map. Miller Berg Photography News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has a few words from our sponsor. What? I can't see.
Folks, I just took a very nice flash action shot of the best radio newsman in town. This flash bulb camera Millard Berg's let me use is really something. Do you see how it lit up the studio, guys?
Well, no, I didn't. I need vision for that.
Can't you see anything?
Yes, I can. I see green spots floating around a red room.
Oh, that's very Christmassy. Boy, what happened to your pupils? They're like pinholes.
Read the commercial, Jack.
All right, Luke. Just settle back and relax and try to close your eyes. From Millard Berg, down there at 15th and Tower in Superior, what it means is photography, folks, the best in the business. But in spite of the fact that they have the greatest cameras, the Eastman, the Agfa, and the Argus, they also have other related items, like photo albums, $1 to $6.50, genuine leather or leatherette desk sets, bridge sets, stationery chests, framed pictures, oh yeah, movie screens, tripods, enlargers, flash bulbs, synchronizers, home developing outfits, they've got it all, folks. Electric camera with the precise 115-millimeter lens, complete with two pen light batteries, four super flash bulbs, one reflector cover, just $8.95. The Falcon Abbey. And of course, that's all at Miller Berg Photography. They've got it all, folks. Stop there tomorrow. Now, Lou Martin, you all right, partner?
I'm okay when I close one eye and focus with the other, thank you. A safecracker is being sought by postal authorities in three counties. Rural post offices were burgled in Minong, Mason, and Hawthorne. The crooks got away with $1,200 in cash and stamps. About $500 was taken from the Mason Post Office, located in the town general store. They also took some ammunition, shoes, and underwear from the store. $700 was taken from the Minong Post Office, but the safecrackers fled the Hawthorne Post Office when an alarm went off. Safecracker is a good description for the bandit who used an axe to break open the safes.
Well, at least he's got clean underwear now.
I liked it better when you didn't pay attention to my news. The Superior Women's Cooperative Guild is raising money for the people of Finland in their battle against the Soviet Union. The Finnish Women's Guild and the English Women's Guild of Superior will hold a tag day sale to help their mother countries. Headquarters for the drive is the Workers' Hall at Fifth and Tower. Now, Superior Mayor Bryn Ausby is waiting to say a few words for our Finnish brethren. Good evening, Mayor.
Good evening to you.
You look like the station engineer, Joe Gardonio, Mr. Mayor.
He's gone, Lou. He had to make a speech over at their WEBC.
And why are you here instead?
I don't know. Well, all of a sudden he looks at his watch, he grabs me and says, "Hey, you read this."
All right then, Joe, if you don't mind.
Well, I did mind. He called me, "Hey, Hugh." See, if I remember his name come election time, you betcha, boy, oh boy.
Would you rather that I read it?
Yes, I wouldn't.
Yes, I wouldn't.
It says here, bitterly do the Americans feel the invasion of a sister republic, a republic that patterned itself after our own, a republic that has lived since its founding in peace and in progress. Now Finland is at war against its will, bravely fighting against almost insurmountable odds to protect the borders of one of the world's great democracies. Therefore, I, Mayor of Superior, sheesh, looks like he's finally getting to the point, do hereby proclaim Sunday, December 17th, 1939, Finland Day in this here city. I ask the citizens of this community to appeal for divine protection for the warlocked Finnish Republic. And I further ask the citizens of this here community to give according to their ability to bring relief to Finland. His Honor Bryn Ausby, Mayor. I added the His Honor part.
Thank you, Joe Gardonio.
This news reading thing isn't as tough as climbing broadcast towers to change the light bulbs, I'll tell you that right now.
In other news, Governor Julius Heil has raised the ire of Assemblyman Elmer Peterson of Poplar and His Honor Mayor Bryn Ausby. Governor Heil told the League of Wisconsin Municipalities that Superior is, and we're quoting now, always looking for money, money, money. They have a lot of crying towels up there. Those people on the Pine Ridge want automatic heat instead of cutting their own cordwood, unquote. Mayor Ausby says the governor promised better old age pensions and relief for the poor during his election campaign, and now he's trying to cut those things. Assemblyman Peterson says the governor seems to know all the solutions to our difficulties before the election. Prominent local grocer Joe Ansel has died. The owner of the 7th Street Market for 22 years passed away in St. Mary's Hospital in Rochester, Minnesota, following a 2-week illness. Born in Poland, Mr. Ansel had lived in Superior since 1917. He leaves behind him his wife Sarah, 3 sons, and 2 daughters. Burial will be at the Hebrew Cemetery. 2 weeks of Christmas holiday are in store for Superior's 10,000 public school children. They start their vacation today, while the 3,000 Douglas County school children will have to wait until next Friday to begin their vacation. Christmas programs were held in the schools today, including Christmas caroling from classroom to classroom. And that, Jack, is the news.
I'm still trying to figure out what the heck "yes, I wouldn't" means. Well, thanks, Lou Martin. Anyway, the best doggone newsman with small pupils. Coming up, folks, we'll be putting up our Christmas tree. That'll be fun. But first, our forecast for this Friday, December 15th, 1939. Fair and warmer, friends. The low tonight will be a balmy 32 degrees. How about that? And look for a high tomorrow around 40. I must be dreaming. It's a warm December, folks. Now, as promised, some fine Christmas music. Here's the BBC Dance Orchestra and Chorus, with vocals by Dan Donovan. From 1935, this is the Santa Claus Express on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS. A very good swinging Christmas tune of the BBC Dance Orchestra and the Santa Claus Express on Station KUWS. Now, I'll let you in on a secret. Lou and Joe are getting our Christmas tree. Harriet has one all picked out. I can't wait. I love decorating the Christmas tree. Now, if you're like me, you're still wondering what gifts to buy for Christmas. Well, Superior Stores will make that easier for you. They'll stay open until 9 o'clock every weeknight and Saturday evenings until Christmas Eve. Find stores like, well, Roth Brothers, Light Bodies Women's Clothing, Rudolph Furniture, Branzers, Lurie Furniture, Cali Furniture, Trade Home Shoes, and Popkins Furniture. Don't forget the great toys you can buy at Gamble's. A joy to any boy. Gamble's has a genuine Gilbert tool chest full of play tools that really work. Just $2.19 at Gamble's. Now let's get in the Christmas tree trimming mood. Harriet is whipping up some of her great eggnog. I can smell it. I love eggnog. Here's the music of Lou Stone and his band from 1934 and Winter Wonderland on the Martin and McKenna Show. Thank you.
bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening, a beautiful sight. We're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird, here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman, then pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire, to face unafraid the plans that we made, walking in a winter wonderland.
The Yuletide sounds for your enjoyment, good listener. Alan Kane singing Winter Wonderland with Lou Stone and his band on station KUWS. Hi, Lou. You and Joe have the tree, I see.
Yeah, she's a real beaut.
Just follow the trail of the needles.
I'm going to reload my flash camera.
Reload's a good way to describe that weapon. You'd better warn us before you fire it off again.
Oh, a group Christmas picture is a wonderful idea, Lewis. We have to decorate the tree first. And what better way to do that than with a glass of eggnog?
Oh, yes, sirree. Well, I could go for a shot of that eggnog for a good warmer-upper.
Goodness me, Joe, that's just for flavor.
The more flavor, the better, I say. Oh, for crying out loud.
Oh, hey. It's the big white light. This must be the end.
Boy, what a bunch. But I did get a great picture, folks. On with the Yuletide music, too. Here's the BBC Dance Orchestra with singing by the Three Sisters. From 1936, this is The Fairy on the Christmas Tree on the Martin and McKenna Show.
little secret she must keep, that she can sigh when she is asleep. Every little girl would like to be a fairy on the Christmas tree.
Now, that's got to get everyone in the ho-ho-ho spirit. That's the fairy on the Christmas tree, with the BBC Dance Orchestra on station KUWS. That's a nice-looking tree, guys.
I'm going to take that camera away from you if you don't warn us before you blast that thing in our faces once again.
Sorry, Lois. It was such a good action shot of everyone. Hey, friends. Belknap Electric has a great Christmas gift. They have a 5-tube AC-DC super heterodyne push-button Crosley radio on sale for just $12.99. This low-cost table model is the perfect gift. Or go to Roth's. They have a nice electric percolator for the best cup of coffee in town. And it's yours for just $4.95 at Roth's. You need help with those boxes, guys.
I don't think it'd be a good idea for you to get too close to these here decorations.
I'll be careful.
I don't know. I fix all the things you break around here.
Let them string the lights. It'll keep them busy and away from that flashbulb camera.
Well, make sure you don't get those wires all tangled. Not everyone has the talent of us engineers, you know.
Oh, boy. Let's see now. It says here, Noma Christmas Lights. Safest ever. Underwriter's laboratory has tested these lights.
Well, if you ask me, the laboratory of Jacques is the biggest test.
I remember my grandma's Christmas tree was lit every Christmas Eve with candles.
Jack and flammables make a bad combination.
You two are going to give me nightmares if you keep talking like that.
Says here these normal lights have plastic that's fire resistant. Nothing to worry about.
Lewis, you're in charge of the tinsel. Jack, I want you to give Joe a boost so he can reach up to put the Christmas angel on top. I'll put the ornaments on last.
Well, now, just in case Jack drops me and the tree goes kablooey.
I won't drop you.
Better safe than sorry, Joe.
Well, all right, Jack. Well, give me a boost on the count of three. Just hold your horses there now. Okay, now. You catch me if anything goes awry, eh?
Awry. Check that.
You guys are making way too big a deal out of this.
Okie dokie. Get ready. One and a two and a... Oh, Nelly!
All right, then. I told you it was no big deal to put that angel on the treetop.
You vent on two. I said three on three. I think you just sliced a year off my life.
It might sweeten up that eggnog, after all.
Everyone help yourself. Nice and creamy eggnog.
Give me a double nog. I don't want the tree to be the only thing lit around here.
And ladies, I'll have that recipe for you in just a minute.
That's my cue, too, for our next holiday melody. From 1931, that is. This is Paul Robeson with Lawrence Brown on the piano and Mary Had a Baby on the Martin and McKenna Show.
And the train done gone. The people keep a come and the train gone.
We've just enjoyed, and I mean enjoyed, the music of Paul Robeson and Mary Had a Baby on station KUWS. Good nog, Harriet.
You're doing a wonderful job with those colorful tree lights, Jack.
Why, shucks. Isn't my tinsel wonderful, too, Harriet?
It's the best tinsel decoration I've ever seen.
That angel looks pretty darn good, too, doesn't it?
Yes, Joe. Very, very nice angel. Have another nog. And ladies, Mrs. Clarence Coleman gave us her recipe for eggnog. She calls it 1939 nog. 9 eggs will make 18 glasses. 1 egg, 1 tablespoon of sugar, 1 cup of cream. Stir the yolks and sugar together. Beat in 1 glass of brandy.
I thought this had a little kick to it.
It's only for flavoring, Joe. After the brandy, add the cream and then a little rum.
Oh, Christmas tree, Christmas tree. La, 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 la.
Oh, Christmas tree.
I may have used a little more rum than I should have. Finally, fold in the egg whites, beaten stiff.
Oh, Tannenbaum tree.
Doesn't anybody remember the words?
I've rigged the camera so we can take a group shot.
No more shots for any of you boys. Let's see now. Egg whites beaten stiff. Use 1 gill of rum for every dozen eggs. Remember, a gill equals 1/4 of a pint. And that's it. You have eggnog.
You know, dear, I like you. You're a pretty good guy, Lou. I don't care what the other engineers say. You're okay by me.
Well, swell. And thanks.
Okay. Everyone in front of the Christmas tree now. If you can get there without staggering, I'll just plug in the lights.
They never believe those stories about you anyhow, Lou.
Jack, how about that group picture?
All set, Lou. I just pulled this cord I hooked up to the flash camera. Everybody, say cheese.
Cheese!
Holy I think my eyes fell out of my head.
A kind of a bright flash.
Look at the pretty little angel at the top of the tree. I think she smiled at me.
That's a wrap tonight, friends. My goodness. We'll be back the same time, same place on your radio dial, if they let us. The good Lord willing, and the green spots go, eh?
Deck the halls
with boughs of holly.
For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna speaking. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Been listening to Radio Superior 1939, a weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, John Munsell, Don Hansen, Don Mason. All events reported on Radio Superior 1939 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week, at this time, for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.